dearly beloved in Christ. I'll start off by just like the apostle, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the name of our wonderful Heavenly Father and our Lord Master Christ Jesus. It's a great joy, brethren, that we address the saints at the Salem 22 convention. And we bring the love of my wife, Sister Debbie, who's on board here, and as well as that of the dear Orlando Bible student friends with whom we meet. The brethren have asked us to give a talk on the theme discourse of Psalms 46, verses 1 and 2 today, of which we've had meaningful reflections on in preparations for this convention in Salem. Reflections and prayer about the time in which we are living and the special promises and admonitions that will help sustain us when the mountains quake and the waters roar and foam. Reflections on an incredible and powerful, loving Heavenly Father who holds all of his consecrated saints in the very palm of his hands. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, and the earth melted. Imagine for a moment, dear friends, that you're at the Red Sea, as an escaping Israelite, standing there with Moses at the Exodus, looking out over the watery road that God had made there in the sea, trying to wrap your head around the fact that there were hundreds of Egyptian soldiers and chariots charging right toward you, and thinking what? That you might soon be slaughtered by their weapons of war when they catch up to you? Do you think that Moses was thinking that? Not for a minute. Moses knew that Jehovah God was his refuge. The walls of water were a matter of perception. To the faithful Israelite, they were thick, watery walls structured by faith, holding back tons of threatening waters. To the Israelites with doubting hearts, they were terrifying thin walls of doom and catastrophe. So what would your and my true perception be? What is it now? Would it be like the apostle that cried out on the Sea of Galilee, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Or like Daniel with his head laying against the haunches of a lion at rest, with a peace that passeth all understanding? I guess it's really hard to say for sure until you're actually put in that position. You hope that you would be like Daniel or the faithful Israelites if things got really bad. But now you hear your Father's promise. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walkest through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Isaiah 43, verse 2. Brethren, there are so many precious promises the Father has given us, the spiritual Israelites of this gospel age. But it all takes what? Faith, or a fully believing heart, a fully trusting heart. Just like the nation of Israel had to pass through the Red Sea by faith in Jehovah and his authorized agent, Moses, finding rest only if they could believe the promises of God that they received through Moses, would they find safety from threatening waters around them. Therefore, will not we fear? There's more than one way to escape, isn't there? Proportional to our faith in these promises and complete trust in Jehovah, our fears will diminish and evaporate like water coming off a sea of trouble headed up towards the heavens above. So how is this done? 1 Peter 5:7 says, by casting all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Jehovah God cares for you, and he's given very special promises for you and I to claim. Why claim $10 in a lost bank account when there's $100 waiting for you, right? My point, claim all the promises that God has given you. We see the nations quaking from the events of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, spilling over towards threats of other nations as well, with their fearful economic repercussions. The fear index of humanity's insecurities is reaching the highest level that I have ever seen in my lifetime. The question for us is this: will you and I also fear as we see these foreboding forecasts of television media and the gloom and doom of the stock market plummeting with ever-increasing inflationary fears, as well as the results on our own personal savings accounts, investments, and pensions in jeopardy? Will we fear as others, or will we cling to the promises, cling to and claim the promises? In this hour of temptation in which we live, causing anxiety, doubts, or fears, will it cause those doubts and fears in you and I, dear brethren, as it does with most all of humanity? Will the unsettling of Satan's present crumbling superstructure pull us down with the rest of mankind's whirlpool of doubts, depression, and disillusionment of this present superstructure of society with its many fabricated idols? If it does, then we are living beneath the divine provisions of sustenance and strength that God has given us in all his exceeding great and precious promises. To help us navigate this very tumultuous time of society as it unravels at the seams. For we all must fully believe and fully claim the promise in Psalms 46 that God is our refuge and our strength. For faith can firmly trust him, what? Come what may. What are the encouragements, the promises, and the admonitions to us in the midst of this time of trouble, when men's hearts are failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth? For the powers of heaven are being shaken. Luke 21:26. There are so many promises that the Lord has provided for us as an anchor to the soul to keep our ship, our state of mind, from crashing against the rocks of discouragement and anxiety. If we make use of these scriptural reflections daily, and think on these things, we will be lifted up above earth's lamentations, anchored to the rock of ages. If we claim and recall these promises, we will have thoughtful and reverent hearts in the midst of these troubles, prayerfully watching and praying, lest a promise being left us of entering into rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. Hebrews 4:1 and reprint 5990. Where mankind has put their faith in their bank accounts, their investments, their God of science and technology, and their various ideologies of government and leadership, all failing to some extent or degree, the true Christian has his faith anchored beyond the veil in God's holy word. As the pastor stated in this 5990 article, seeing that we look for these things, let us be diligent or be prompt in making an effort that we may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless 2 Peter 3:14. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Just like the Christian of resolute faith, who had been exercised by many trials of faith throughout their entire consecrated lives, has been stretched, sometimes when they thought they couldn't be stretched any further. But God said, there's still more. I need to stretch your faith more through these fiery trials you're having. I call it spiritual elasticity, a property of spiritual maturation in the sanctification process. God knows your stretching point, brethren, better than you do. And many of these experiences in this time of trouble are going to stretch your and my faith and confidence in all of God's exceeding great and precious promises, aren't they? But you need to claim these promises. Memorize the promises, as many as you can. Prayerfully reflect on them and derive strength from them throughout your day. Many of your trials and testings have been further increasing your spiritual elasticity to endure hardness as a good soldier. Scriptural promises like these, for example, that you reflected and claimed many times in this narrow way, 2 Timothy 2:3, and so on. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We look for the good, right? As the brother said the other day, we know that all things are going to work together for good. So look for the good. How many times have you reminded yourself of the Father's care with this scripture through the trials and problems of this present life? Doesn't reminding yourself of this help sustain your faith and give you some peace in whatever the circumstances that you're going through, doesn't it? For we know, don't we? The adversary would like to have us shrivel up in fear as to what is going to happen, or, you know, what's going to happen to our earthly interest, our health, our medical operation, our job, our safety, and just going to the grocery store. Remember the recent food store shootings? I know people that won't even leave their house. They have so much fear. Yes, we need to take precautions and use the spirit of a sound mind, a spirit of a sound mind. But we know that nothing can happen to us, nothing, unless the Lord would permit it, right? Why? Because we are his sons, called according to his purpose. And we trust that all things work together for our highest spiritual welfare, don't we? God, our great shepherd, there's a good shepherd and a great shepherd, and God is the great shepherd, has placed his trusted guarding angels around you, that not a hair of your or my head can fall without the divine approval. Not a hair. Luke 12:7. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear. What a beautiful relationship you have been developing with your amazing Heavenly Father over these many years. What a precious relationship as you inhabit the tabernacle of the holy. Philippians 4:4-7. Delight yourself in God. Yes, find your joy in him at all times. Have a reputation for gentleness and never forget the nearness of your Lord. Now notice, don't worry over anything whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer, and the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. Unquote. Think about this. There's a fine line between worry and concern, isn't there? A Christian full of faith should endeavor to never worry, even though they may have an important concern. Faith is that line. Hold your position. And let's all make a goal to never worry. Even though we may find many areas of concern, it won't be easy, but it's accomplishable. I believe the Lord wants to see that in all of us, brethren, like having perfect intentions or a perfect faith. Cast your every care upon him, for he careth for you. And from the Phillips translation, once again, 1 Peter 5:7, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. Let us all work harder at resisting the adversary's darts of worry that he throws at our shield of faith. Keep those shields up, brethren. That's what I say. Keep those shields up. Later in that same chapter, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Now, not your wants, it says, but your needs, right? There's a difference. However, sometimes what we think our needs are what God thinks, and what God thinks our needs are two different things. God promised according to his riches and keeps time a little differently than we do. Most of us need to adjust our watches, don't we? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. My dear mother, Sister Hazel McClellan, used to say that a lot in her older years. Some of you knew her. When her body was getting old and feeble, I still remember her just trying to get out of my car, hardly had the strength to stand, and she would recall this promise, which gave her strength. I can hear her saying it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's not an easy thing to do all the time, but you know what? Because of her faith, she could get out of that car. It's a good one to commit to memory, brethren. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I know most of you have that committed already. Philippians 4:13. God has given us special promises like these to anchor our souls to his. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and having the mountains or great kingdoms of this earth been falling to pieces into the restless masses of humanity, World War I, where are those great monarchical kingdoms that ruled over Europe and Israel for centuries? Are they the same as they were? No. Where are those kings and queens, real kings and queens, of power and authority? Is this not a process that's been happening since 1914 and continues on today? But Jehovah God has given us beautiful truths, prophetic signposts, and even helpful chronology to help sustain our faith through these troublous times, hasn't he, dear friends? He's given a solid dispensational truth that we can hang our hats on. I believe you can definitely hang your hat on the date 1914. How about you? It's the end of the Gentile times, as we all know. The 2,520 years spoken of in Daniel 4, Daniel 2, and Ezekiel 21:25-27. It's a benchmark, an anchor date that adds to the confirmation of how real God's promises are and further cements them in our hearts. Psalms 46:4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place. Now notice place is added in your Bibles, the holy of the tabernacles of the Most High. What is this river that is spoken of here? Brother Russell suggests on page 229 in the third volume that it is God's word, a fountain of truth and grace. This is a marvelous river of truth that is contained in the scriptures. Remember, though, we believe that although the truth is in the Bible, the understanding is in the volumes. As one brother said many years ago, the meat in due season. That's the understanding. Recall the words of our master in Revelation 3:20, that in the last stage of the church, the seventh stage, Jesus would sup with us. In other words, Jesus would provide the supper In the Greek, it means to dine. Jesus cooked this nutritious meal, and Brother Russell was his waiter that served us this meat in due season, that would sustain us through all this trouble in this hour of temptation, that would sustain us through all the doctrinal winds of controversy that would blow some off the path where the meal was served. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. And it says that the city of God, who is that? The city of God is the church, the kingdom of God, even if in its present embryo condition, before its exaltation in glory. Now, notice, it doesn't say here in Psalms 46, 4, that the city of God is in the most holy, does it? But still in the holy of the tabernacles of the Most High. Verse 4. And yes, we are indeed very happy that the Lord has provided so bountifully for our spiritual sustenance. Don't go for any bologna sandwiches when you got a sirloin steak on the table. 2 Peter 1:16. We call it, dear brother Christian Zano used to say something like that, right? A bologna sandwich might be, for example, the sophistry of evolution that undermines our precious doctrine of the ransom. With all the turmoil of school shootings, riots on the Capitol buildings, societal coming apart at the seams and more, the church is very happy and joyous that God is in the midst of her. And because of this, she will not be moved. Why? Because even though she may not escape all the trouble physically, financially, and so forth, she will escape the trouble because of her valuable faith, which she has been building upon with the gold, silver, and precious stones of divine truth. 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 12. And this knowledge supports the true church and strengthens her and gives her peace when everyone else is in fear, anxiety, and full of stress at the events of our day and what is still coming. It says, God will help her when? Leeser translates it, in the dawning of her morning. Not in the millennial morning stage where people in general begin awakening from the tomb, but rather in her morning. I believe her morning began in 1878, when I believe the sleeping saints began being raised from the dead. Don't you usually awake in the morning? Well, when did the saints begin to be raised from the dead, right? We see that her morning comes before the world's of mankind's morning, doesn't it? And it's the meat in due season that taught us that, right? Now, I'm not going to read each one of these, but you can scan through them on the slide. These horrific events you see here are moving society, shaking society in a huge way, possibly trying to step by step change the very Constitution of the United States that has been operative since the birth of our nation. It's called the Second Amendment, which gives the people the right to keep and bear arms. Did you know that Brother Russell suggested in the second volume that we could possibly see a change in our United States Constitution in the closing days? Take a look at it yourself, volume 2, page 361 at the top, right here in the United States. But while these kinds of changes might very well move the NRA and thousands of other citizens of this country, and the issues will move them to their core, it shall not move the Lord's saints. Why? Because God has shared much of his plan with us, and many prophetic features have also been revealed in these last days of what I believe is the gospel age harvest. Again, through the pen of that wise and faithful servant, Brother Russell, God is in the midst of her, and what? She shall not be moved. I believe the true saints, as much as they may have strong feelings about some of the issues of our day, will follow the Master's example and words to us, where he could have, but he never got involved in politics, did he? He said his kingdom was not of this world. Brethren, please, if you are, stay out of politics. You may be getting in the way of the Lord's chariot. Our present Lord and King is bulldozing down this old order to set up his kingdom that will never be destroyed. Daniel 2:44 to 45. Can you feel the mountains or kingdom shaking? Can you see them crumbling? I tear up every time I hear of these school shootings, for example. It breaks my heart to think of innocent children being shot to death. But only God's kingdom will put a stop to all this madness. And then nothing, nothing will hurt nor destroy in all his holy kingdom. Isaiah 11, verse 9. These children will come back from the grave in a better world. But in the present, it has the political leaders in perplexity as to how to pacify the fomenting anger of the restless masses. Their demand of something has to be done, has to be answered. Watch what happens as the situation progresses. We all feel so badly for these families and their present great loss. It can be very disgusting to hear about pedophile priests molesting little children in the Roman Catholic Church. And it's not just a handful, but upwards of 5,000 priests, I understand, that are accused of doing such horrific acts against innocents. These reports and the increase of child abductions also, with Amber Alerts triggered what seems to be almost every week, these unrighteous activities, along with the increase in witch covens and the increase of the occult more and more, can be very discouraging news, especially when these witches can infiltrate Facebook groups and the like. There are between 1,000 and 5,000 covens, witch covens, and an estimated 300,000 people associated with the overall movement of Wicca. I once taught at a school where the teacher was obsessed with Harry Potter in her class, was almost immersed in these lessons on a weekly basis. I told her how unhappy I was with her, and I could not be used as a reference for her finding another teaching position. Palm readers seem to be popping up more and more in the street corners, but you know, the Lord forewarned us ahead of time, didn't he, brethren, that the occult would increase with possibly even fallen angels materializing and chains of darkness released, as in Jude 6, more and more. It says, unto that perfect day. Unto is the word eis, by the way, in the Greek. It means the point reached or entered. So the chains of darkness will be released more and more unto, or when that point is reached, of that perfect day or that millennial day, I believe. We believe Brother Russell saw it coming as well. That's one reason he wrote the vow. A wonderful admonition for us, right? The vow. I will resist everything akin or associated with, akin to spiritism and the occult. And remembering that there are but the two masters, I will resist these snares in all reasonable ways as being of the adversary. With all their subtleties and lying deceptions, we have to be especially on guard in these last days, brethren. Be very vigilant, dear friends, and remember the promise that he that is for you is greater than he that is against you. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. But even though there are fallen spirits in Earth's atmosphere, maybe even involved in some of these shootings that we see, we have good angels that are always with us. Remember the angel that ministered to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and the angel that came to the Apostle Peter when he was in prison? Do you truly believe that you have at least one guardian angel that is with you at all times? How powerful and intelligent do you think that guardian angel is? Taking precautions and using sanctified common sense is always good. But the next time you walk into a grocery store like Ross Grocery Store or Walmart or JCPenney store, put your fears and anxieties to bed if you have them. And remember that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and what? And delivereth them. That's a promise to you, brother. I believe there are probably going to be darker times ahead. It has to be, as the scriptures say there will be. A dark night, John 9:4. But always remember these promises and admonitions from the apostles and our Lord Jesus, like this one. where Jesus said to us, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in Gehenna. Jesus admonished us to not be afraid of him who can kill us physically, if that be the case. It takes a strong, fortified faith to look death in the eye, whether you're on the operating table or staring toward the barrel of a gun. I've experienced that. But our Master Jesus said, do not be afraid. I was delivered. It wasn't my time yet. And God was my refuge. Brethren, do you realize that we are virtually immortal until the Father approves the time for our departure? For us, living after our Lord has raised the sleeping saints, even if we were shot and died, a second later, we would be in heaven with our Master, the Father, and all the holy angels and saints. Would that be so bad? Might it be harder to die a lingering death with cancer? Even the great company, it would only seem like a second later when they are raised to heaven also after the church class. 1 John 4:18. Consider what Jesus said to Pilate in John 19:10-11. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Now notice Jesus' reply and remember it well. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Pilate, nor Caesar himself, nor the whole Roman army could have put Jesus to death unless Jehovah had approved the action. So too with us, dear brethren. Never forget that. God is our refuge and our strength, our shield and our buckler. So be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 1:9 and Genesis 15:1. Superhuman courage comes when you know that Jehovah God is with you whithersoever thou goest. How many really love and often think about this precious promise? This is a steering wheel text that should drive every Christian who is navigating to their heavenly Canaan. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 6:3. God promises to direct our paths in life if we trust him, not with part of our heart, but with all our heart. And you can take that to the bank and cash it. But it's not leaning on our own abilities, our self-reliance of our skills and knowledge, our own, but rather demonstrating to God that we are leaning on him, not leaning on our own understanding. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. When I think of self, I tremble. But when I look to him, then I am strong. With all the turmoil of societal disarray around us, all the confusion, the worry, and the fear, we all know where we can find our haven of rest, don't we, brethren? Exodus 33:14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You know, there's a big difference between rest and restless, isn't there? Do you ever get restless? Of course. Restless means without rest. If you and I truly trust in the Lord with all our hearts, then we will strive to have that true rest, that perfect peace that the potential little flock can claim. Isaiah 26:3, one of my favorite verses. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Because why? Because he trusteth in thee. But the key here is what? Whose mind is stayed on thee. You see, the Lord wants to know that we can truly trust him, brethren, After all, he's going to trust us, if faithful, with a divine nature, isn't he? So God puts a premium on our faith in him. Can you please God without faith? You know the scripture well, right? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, what? Diligently seek him. Diligently. There's a modifier there. Hebrews 11:6. How many here find themselves singing hymns, especially when you are fighting difficult situations or trials in your faith? When one of the ones that comes to mind, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. My sister Sharon, who I think is on today, loves that song. Haven't you found that singing hymns is a very good way to lift your spirits, displace discouraging and anxious thoughts and doubts, and rest in the promises and blessings that God has given us? Hymns are like your hands pressing down on a bowl full of discouragement. What happens? The discouraging thoughts are displaced by the hands of hymns, who shows a good defensive move against a great adversary that would like to discourage us and make us downcast. Ephesians 5:18-19. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, now notice, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul and Silas did when they were thrown into prison after being beaten? They were in shackles. And were they complaining about the situation? Brother spoke on it Friday night. No. Let's read that in Acts 16:25-26. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. So how did Paul and Silas deal with the potentially very discouraging situation? They prayed and sang praises unto God. They sang hymns of praise, didn't they? Good suggestion for all of us in these trying times. Now, I'm not good with remembering the verses to hymns. So often, Sister Debbie will just find me whistling a hymn around the house. She says she likes my whistling. I have to admit, my whistling is much better than my singing. Have you noticed, dear friends, supply shortages in the food aisles of the grocery stores lately? Can you buy everything that you used to? Perhaps you've heard that supply chains from other countries have been affecting the supply chains all over the world. I believe we soon will see food shortages, even starvation in other countries because of the recent war in the Ukraine. It might even come to America as well. We'll wait and see and trust whatever the Lord provides for us. Are we not all in the same school of Christ that the Apostle Paul was? Again, we turn to the Philippians 4:12-14, where our dear brother Paul said, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. Now notice, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Brother Russell said once, and I memorized it, you may want to also, it is only when we are submerged in the Lord's will that we can know no disappointment. No disappointment. Easier said than done, right, when you're wondering how much food is left in the pantry. What are told in 1 Corinthians 10:13, another promise from our Father. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. All of our experiences, brother, you know, are tailor-made for us. In volume 3, the pastor suggested that we can escape this world's anxiety in a very special way. This was page 228. Listen carefully. We escape not by being taken from the scene of trouble, but by being supported, strengthened, and kept in the very midst of it all by the word of the Lord, our shield and buckler. Trusting myself to divine care and the providential overlaying of all my every interest for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. For what? For faith can firmly trust him, come what may. And we have another precious promise in Psalms 91:4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Psalms 91:4. God covers us with his symbolic wings of protection in every experience of life. We have a peace with and a peace of God through all of our experiences of life. And that peace gives us rest. Like the feathers of a large bird around her darling fledglings, every feather is a promise that gives us warmth and care and security of rest, because we know our Father will always be there. That's what he promised, didn't he? How many feathers have you counted so far, brother? There's more. Listen to what seems like a description of our day. Psalms 91:5-6. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Could the arrow here that flieth by day possibly refer to the threat of nuclear missiles, like an arrow going up into the sky, like that from North Korea or possibly even Russia? Could the pestilence that walketh in darkness be a possible reference to the COVID-19 pestilence or the like, that in darkness you cannot see with a naked eye, but only with a microscope? We all take certain precautions according to how we read the Lord's will and use sanctified common sense, but we go about our day in faith and confidence that not a hair of our head can be harmed without the Lord's approval. Like my mom once again used to teach me, Larry, every one of those feathers is a special promise of God for you. There are an abundance of promises, brethren. Load up those spiritual backpacks. Another reassurance in John 16:27, for the Father himself loves you. Just think of that. For the Father himself loves you. The great light of the whole universe, Jehovah God. The question is, do you really and truly believe that? Of course you do. Then if you do, you can claim all his precious promises that are given to you and given to me. Don't let Satan shortchange you. Learn them and claim them all. Perhaps you'd like to obtain a booklet published by Chicago Bible students. It's called Exceeding Great and Precious Promises. I know a lot of you already have it. I just sit there sometimes in my front porch and in the early morning hours and drink my coffee and listen to those. I would really suggest it for you whenever you get a little down or discouraged. But dear ones, you have to know these promises and believe them. Think on them every day. Memorize as many of them as you can and claim them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know some already, right? Let's reflect on some more of these as quickly as we can. We have learned from the example of our beloved Apostle Paul to be content in whatever state we are in, every circumstance of life that the Lord has programmed into our lives for the edification and growth of our new creature. That should be one of our goals in the school of Christ, contentment. I need to work on that myself. Do we all have to work a little harder at the goal of accomplishing this state of mind, to be content with such things as you have? That takes confidence in God and a firm belief that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Never. Claim and grasp that promise with a firm grip, dear friends. Hold tenaciously onto it and don't let go. Remember the hymn, he holds me with his own right hand and will not let me go. I imagine that thought brings tears to all of your eyes as it does mine. You are familiar with this 23rd Psalm. I'm going to skip reading it because of time. You know what it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it goes on, right? We have a dear little sister in Orlando. You know where the place where it says, my cup overflows in that Psalms 23. Sister Jeanette Kutkowski, I love that sister. She often says, in regards to my cup overflows, she says, my cup overflows and I'm drinking from the saucer. My cup overflows and I'm drinking from the saucer. I love that. That's precious, isn't it? Aren't we all drinking from the saucer? Relating to Psalms 23 from reprint 3269. The sheep of the little flock fear no evil because of the Lord's favor, because he is with them on their side and has shown his favor in the redemptive price already paid. He is with them too in his word of promise, his assurance that death shall not mean extinction. What wonder that these can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, singing and making melody in their hearts. As a shepherd's crook was used to assist the sheep out of difficulties, to defend it from its two powerful enemies, and to chasten it when inattentive. And as all of these uses of the rod were for the sheep's interest and welfare, so with the Lord's little flock and their shepherd and his rod of help, the true sheep learn to love the providences of the shepherd and are comforted by them. When we pass through the shadow of death, it may be our time or it may not, but we acquiesce to whatever God's will is for us, knowing that even if it is our time, if faithful, we hopefully will have the hidden manna of immortality waiting for us and a new name given to us by God. Some may be so weary from life that they wish to check out right now if they knew their loved ones would be taken care of. I had one very old brother tell me one time, I just want to die. I understand when you get very old, you've lost most of your close friends in death and your body is slowly falling apart. But again, not my will, but thy will be done. The Lord may still have some work to do on us, or he wants us to develop more compassion with the human experience. For the Bible says, we all die like men. So he will restore our soul from the opportunities of learning that lie ahead. Like my grandfather, Brother Bill Brewer said, with his hands pulsating from Parkinson's disease, quoting Jesus, he said, the cup which my Father hath poured, shall I not drink it? But it's all in our spiritual attitude. You know you're overcoming when you have an attitude of gratitude, even when you're passing through some of the toughest of life's experiences. Again, godliness with contentment is great gain. True Christian contentment, like patience, implies a Christian has a heart full of faith. And again, with faith comes what? With faith comes peace, right? With faith comes peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid or fearful. When trouble comes, in whatever way it may come, will you look up, as the picture shows here? Or will you look down? Notice which way this sheep is looking. So look up, dear friends, when you see the distress of nations and the seas and the waves roaring. Jesus told us this was coming, didn't he? So are we surprised to see what we are seeing today in the world all around us? And we'll just give you Luke 21, 25. It also says in Psalms 46, 6, it continues, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. We have been, or will soon see, perhaps, some of these things listed here. The problems are enormous. The politicians are perplexed and angry, and society is melting from the heat. Take a quick glance at these troubles. Brethren, we knew this thunderhead was rising from the present truth we've been given. So we expect it. It has to be. It shouldn't surprise us or frighten us like others. The nations of the world and many of mankind will lose their faith in all their savior idols, from science to democracy, and some will finally fall on their knees to cry out to Jehovah, please, God, save us. We need you. We're ready. No, desperate for your help. So are we going to get all caught up and putting our finger in the dike, stressing out from the anxiety, fear, and doubt that hovers over the minds of people on a daily basis? Or are we going to believe and daily reflect on the exceeding great and precious promises that the Lord has given to us as a mental lifeboat to reach out and cling to as we see the great Titanic of Satan's kingdoms sink to the bottom of the restless sea. The eyes of Jehovah are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Psalms 34:15. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Psalms 34:3-4. So many precious promises, dear brethren, yours to claim. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3:18-21. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14:13. What a precious promise that since 1878, none of the little flock sleep in death, but are immediately raised from death to immortality in the twinkling of an eye. Recall our beloved master's promises like this: and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let the transformation take place, dear friends. Jesus has now returned for you. So claim these promises, the promises that our dear Lord secured for you through his own precious blood. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And in conclusion, we read from 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Psalms 46:1-2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And with all this being said, brethren, may the Lord add his blessing, and may the Lord continue to strengthen him with all of his exceeding great and precious promises. For God is our refuge and our strength. Amen.